Morning. It's good to see all of you. My name is Pastor Terry. I am the pastor of Church Mobilization and Small Groups. So Pastor Nate and I are tag teaming this series. The whole series is called Life Together. And the idea that we're circling around is how do we as a community do life together? And specifically, what makes this different from the community center or the YMCA or the neighborhood, family groups that you get together with, or your friends at work, or some of the ways that you've been in community throughout your life, like the swim team or the PTA or a fraternity, where we have these tight-knit places of community. But how is our life together different? And we're really trying to circle in on that concept so that we don't miss the mark on it. And, this series probably has less to do specifically with the Sunday gathering, because that's a time that it's just very different, right? When we sing songs and we raise hands, it's very unique from our culture. I mean, there's yelling at a football game, or you go to a concert and you might sing along. But the context of opening the scriptures, reading the word together, and singing together, I think I'm thankful that in many ways that is countercultural. So that aspect, when you come to church, when you come into this building, when you get together with your people on Sunday, it's definitely different. But what we're speaking about in this series is how do we live life together on a daily basis? Scripture calls us to live it out daily. It's not like, oh, just come on Sunday and then we'll see you next week. Come on Sunday, we'll see you next week. No, this is a daily life that we're living together. And it's in those circles where we'll sit for coffee and we'll walk away and how is that different than my friend from work? And it's kind of obvious, but we've been saying that Jesus is the difference. He sits at the center of everything that we do. And that's really the big takeaway from this series, is how do we keep Jesus at the middle, in that middle space of all of our gathering? He doesn't come up in every conversation, but if he never comes up, then we'll stray. So that's where we are. We're in this series. We're tag teaming. Today we're going to dive into this idea of how do we encourage one another? There will be this call from the book of Hebrews. How do we encourage one another? I want to just share that when I was a boy, I loved cowboy boots. I still kind of want to wear them, but I had all kinds of cowboy boots starting in around the third grade. And let me tell you why, though, because it'll make sense. When I was a boy, my dad was an over-the-road trucker. He would, when I was in third grade, he switched from being an accountant to driving a truck. And he would leave on Mondays and come back on Fridays. And about twice a year, I would pull on my little cowboy boots and I would get in the truck with him and I would drive from Wilmington, Delaware out to Kansas City, Missouri. And we'd drive through the rolling hills of Ohio, through Indiana, and then we'd just get into the plains of the Midwest. And it would just open up. And we'd go through to Missouri and we'd end up ultimately in Topeka, Kansas, of all places. I would go there. It became a pilgrimage in my life, and it's why I like country music. It's why I like plaid shirts. It's also why I like cowboy boots, because my dad had all kinds of alligator cowboy boots, all kinds of stuff. But I just remember at one point when I was really little, I had cowboy boots with spurs on them. Yeah, they were upgraded, and you had to be careful. And so a spur is something that you attach to a boot. Actually, I have one. Why am I telling you what it is? I have one right here. Here's a spur. So a spur is something that you hook to a cowboy boot or a boot, and you use this spur to instruct a horse, to guide a horse. The whole idea is that the horse and its rider are going in a direction together. And the spur becomes a tool that hopefully you don't use often, but when needed, you use it. And it becomes this tool to instruct. I actually called someone in our fellowship that has horses, and I was asking, and they said, well, like a Western spur isn't really used, but spurs are used in competition. But really, in everyday use, you're really guiding a horse with your voice. And there's this hierarchy of how to guide a horse. And when you get to the use of a spur, it takes on a different form. They said that you can actually touch a horse on its side within a few inches, and it will signal a horse in different ways. This is how amazing horses are. And yet this spur, I thought of it like as something I'd throw on my cowboy boots when I was a kid in Western movies. But this spur, actually the idea of it comes into Scripture today. Today's Scripture, the writer of Hebrews equates our life together with a spur. It's really a confronting comparison, because he's saying, spur one another on into love. Spur, to stir them up. Stir up the crowd. Stir up one another. Incite and provoke one another. Give each other a kick into love. It's a bold kind of statement. And we're in the book of Hebrews over this series, and we've been encouraging you to read over it. But we'll come to chapter 10 today. You can turn there. You can turn there if you have a Bible that you want to read through. But we'll be in Hebrews chapter 10. Before we get to the spur aspect, which is where we're going to sit, we need to go to right before that, to what is said, beginning in verse 19. And so listen to this, and let's take it in together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, and having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And in this scripture, the writer of Hebrews has built up to this point that Jesus is supreme in every way. He is higher than the angels. He's a greater leader than Moses. He becomes the high priest of the people, interceding for them between the Father and us. He becomes our older brother. And now he's made a way for us to draw near to God. And this is the first point today. To draw near through the new and living way. There's a few statements that call us into action. And the first statement that calls us into action after all that's happened in the book of Hebrews is, let us draw near to God through the new and living way. And he talks about this new and living way is the curtain that's been torn into his body. The curtain is what separated the Holy of Holies from the people of God in the wilderness and in Old Testament times and in the temple. And I found this painting that talks about, or just presents in a picture, the torn curtain. And you can kind of see how in this picture that where the curtain is torn, it's kind of red, almost stained with the blood of Jesus. And the Gospels tell us that when Jesus died on the cross, that the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, and that there is a way to draw near to God into his most holy place The place that was reserved for the high priest is now open to all of us. We can draw near to God. When they were in the wilderness, Moses was speaking with the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron, the high priest, don't go in there. Don't go into the Holy of Holies because he's going to die if he goes in there. It's where the presence of God resided. His holiness resided with the people, and they were an unholy people. And there was a process for them to approach him and he to be with them. And it had to do with the sacrifices and the priestly offerings. And the high priest could go into this Holy of Holies where the mercy seat was once a year on the Day of Atonement. And if he was lucky, he didn't die. This is how it happened. And now we see in Scripture here that a new and living way has been opened for us through the curtain. That is his body. The body of Christ has torn apart what separated us from the holiness of God and the presence of God. So the call is, let us draw near with a sincere heart, with the assurance that faith brings. And the reason I wanted to start there is because when we talk about encouraging one another, where the writer's going to go next, it seems like kind of a big jump in the text. That we're supposed to draw near to God, and we're also supposed to encourage one another. And today I want to just help us connect those two ideas. And this is where he goes next in verse 24. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The call of Scripture here is to spur someone into love and action. It's to take something, to incite something in someone, but to do that in such a way that it stirs them up into love. The result of this spur is to push into love, but how does a spur cause love? This is the great tension and the mystery of this call to action, to spur one another into love and action. Good deeds. And this is where I really want to make this connection for you, that our capacity to spur someone into encouragement comes from an overflow of our time with Jesus. If we don't spend time regularly drawing near to the Lord, then we will not be an encouraging congregation. We just won't. We will, out of our own effort, we will try to be nice to each other, which is what happens all over the world. We're all trying to be nice to each other. There's no one not. I mean, maybe there's a few, but by and large, people are trying to be nice to each other. So our capacity to spur someone on into the person that they're supposed to be, it has to come out of an overflow of our time with Jesus. Too often, we stir one another up in the wrong direction. We kick each other with spurs to stir one another up to get each other more angry about something that's happening out there, out in our culture, out in our world, the way our world is going. This leads us to become more judgmental and less humble in how we think about the world. We tend to think that we have it right and the world has it wrong and that the world is the enemy. And while there may be some subtleties of truth in that, it breeds this habitual kind of seeing them as the enemy. And so we kind of stir one another up, we spur one another on toward isolation and division. And not only that, but we, even when we try to spur one another on internally, we hurt each other a lot. And I'm talking about the ones that you love, the people that you love. Who do you love? The wounds of a friend leave a more significant mark than those from a stranger because they cut to our heart, our identity. The words that we receive from a friend are significant. They carry impact. They carry weight. They feel devastating and disorienting at times, and the discouragement that follows is overwhelming. To restore a friendship that's been broken with a friend or a brother or a sister or a family member, it takes a long time, often years, and sometimes we run out of time. Imagine riding a horse with spurs on. We're going to stick with this. We're going to stick with it. The spur is a tool meant to signal direction or signal urgency, to initiate movement in a direction. And when it comes to the idea of guiding a friend or a child or a spouse or even a coworker, it's very difficult to apply the right amount of pressure that results in the right kind of change in that relationship. And in our most loving relationships, when we go into a moment to encourage, it often becomes a place of serious discouragement. We set out to encourage someone, but then that encounter ends with people walking away discouraged. And they walk away with really the exact opposite perspective. As I've reflected on this, I know I do this. As I've thought about, just ever since I had little tiny kids, and as they got older, and then teenagers and post-teenagers, like, you just see them grow up, and there's this funnel of freedom that you're trying to slowly give way to, and you're trying to guide them, you know, as they get older. And as they get more adult-like, the funnel is wider, and the guide rails and the guard rails are further apart. And they come to you, and they start to open up, and they're like, we did this, and we did that. And then the father in me very quickly says, well, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You should have done that. And so we have this situation where it was an open, encouraging conversation, and I shut it down because I was like trying to guide. I was trying to steer in the direction that I thought would be the best, but it actually had a shutting down experience. And any of us that have walked our children into adulthood, we've all experienced that. That tension of allowing that to happen, and we don't always get it right. To encourage someone literally is to build courage in that person, to build them up with courage. To discourage someone is literally to rip the courage from them. You just take the courage out of that person. You tear them down, and you remove any courageous impulse that they have. That is discouragement. And when it comes to a horse and its rider, the spur on a boot becomes this directional tool that easily does harm if we apply too much pressure. Our relationships with those that we love is like walking around with spurs on your boots all the time. You think that you pull on your boots and you put your spurs on for a conversation, but what you don't realize is that you're wearing spurs all the time. It doesn't matter if you're going through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. You have your spurs on. You might be just thinking you're ordering waffle fries, but if you say something to someone in the car whom you love in the wrong way, it can be a moment of discouragement. And so how do we do this? How do we live in this relationship where the pressure that we apply to someone's life actually builds them up into more love? The wounds that we create with our spurs leave scars. And those scars tell a story that we didn't intend. And I would just go back to, it's because we don't live out of the loving overflow from the time that we spend behind the curtain with the Lord. As I've kind of unpacked all of this in my own life, if we don't live out of the Spirit of God in us, then we're not going to be an encouraging impact in somebody's life. You may be sitting here thinking, my words don't matter. That's a lie. Your words do matter. They carry weight. They carry weight with the people that you're in community with. And they're either building up or they're tearing down constantly. And thankfully, there's grace. There's grace upon grace because we don't get it right. As a husband or as a father or as a friend, I don't get it right. But there's grace, and the Lord works. The scripture says, whoever believes in me, out of his mouth will flow rivers of living water. In other words, we are to be an overflow of living water that is life. And that life is the new and living way. This is the new way that we're to be living. And our lives are to be pouring this out in a way that builds others up. And obviously, this is not easy. In everyday life, on any given day, it feels impossible, especially when we get it wrong. It feels just devastatingly impossible. And yet, there is a way to do this well. There's a quote here from A.W. Tozer that I think hits the head on this. It's, there are those rare Christians whose very presence is an incitement to you to want to be a better Christian. And if you think about the influence, who's influenced your life? Who's made you, who's helped you become who you are? Oftentimes, it wasn't necessarily what they said, although that had a role in that. It was who they were. At those times of pressure, you saw exactly what was in their heart by their expression on their face. And just their presence with the Lord really incites you to be more like them because they're kind of like Jesus. And that's what we want to be about. That's the kind of people we want to be about. So think a moment about your own life and be honest. How has your life spurred others on? In what directions have you steered people? And how have you done that? I love that the writer says that we should spur one another on into love and good deeds. I think he could almost skip the love. Like, encourage one another into good deeds, into good action, into good behavior. We know how to do that, and that's kind of what we're always trying to do. But how do you steer someone into more love in their life? Let's ask this question again. Do you draw near to the Lord? How do you draw near to the Lord? Have you ever walked through the curtain? It's intimidating to walk through the curtain because it's where the holiness of God is. And for a long time, we've been, rightfully so, afraid of that holy presence. But Jesus' life kind of tears that curtain apart and says, come experience the holiness of God. And he walks with us into that room, and the Holy Spirit changes us. And later on, we're called to be holy because he is holy. This holiness is a set-apart life, to live a set-apart life because you've experienced a set-apart life through Jesus. Maybe you need to walk through that curtain for the first time to experience the frayed edges of that curtain stained with his blood and to experience that holy place of change through an encounter with Jesus Christ as Lord. And it's also a place of renewal where we should frequent this practice of the presence of God in our life is one that we all individually need to steward on our own. And when we come together, we practice that together. But we can't individually live out your life in Christ for you. You have to live that out. And there's nothing keeping you from the presence of God, according to this scripture. There's nothing keeping you from the presence of God. There might be a lot of things keeping you from your dreams and what you would like to do, what you would hope to do. The things that have kept you from the presence of God have been torn apart. So now it's time to draw near to the Lord. The things that might continue to keep you from that are lies or false things. They're not truths. The truth is that there's nothing keeping you from the presence of God. And then lastly, what kind of spur are you? There's a phrase that's been helping me just live life. And it says, travel deeply with the Lord and travel deeply with a few others. Ultimately, this has to be true in your life. Even if you walk with someone for 6 months, if you're not traveling deeply with the Lord and deeply with a few others, you're going to be isolated and doing this on your own. And how you find those few others can often be difficult. And, you know, we have small groups and we try to plug people into small groups. We have friendship circle. But ultimately, to walk deeply with a few others requires initiative that you might be able to take on your own. You can simply look around your sphere and figure out, who should I be walking deeply with? This is what Jesus did. He could have been equally close, maybe, to a lot of people, but he limited himself. Even the Savior of the world limited himself to be close to the 12 or to the 3. He spoke to the crowds, but he traveled deeply with a few. And he sets up that example for us in our lives. And it's in this context that we get to live out the power of encouragement. And as you think about the ways that you've been encouraged or discouraged, it's amazing how little it takes to be discouraged or encouraged. You can receive a text and it encourages you, or you can receive a text and it discourages you. And when I need that encouragement, yes, it comes from the Lord, but it also comes from you. It comes from someone that I know in this fellowship or another believer. And for whatever reason, they reach out to me at the right time. And I don't know why they reached out to me in that moment, but they did. And it was the encouragement that I needed. And had they not reached out, I would not have been encouraged. There's other times that someone could reach out and it could be the opposite effect. So all that to say, all of our impact on one another makes a big difference. And you can impact others by building up courage and encouraging them to become more loving, or you can discourage them. And how to do that properly and rightly is we live in the tension of that every day. And I said earlier, it feels nearly impossible on any given day. And yet that's the kind of daily life as a church that we're called to. We are called to spur one another on into love and action. So if you just bow your heads, just give you a few minutes to think about this. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for the desire that people have to walk deeply with one another. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made the way, that we, each one of us, can meet you in the most holy place because of the work of Jesus, through salvation and through frequenting that place of your presence on our knees in your scripture, in prayer. Even here, when we come and we gather in this corporate worship, Lord, you are present and you are working. You work individually while we're here, and you work corporately. And not only that, but you're working all over the world at this time in such a personal way. And so, Lord, I just pray that as people think about their lives, that we would just be people of encouragement, that we would spur one another on into love and to good action. And please forgive us, Lord, for all the ways that we've gotten that wrong, especially with the ones that we love the most. Lord, you've given us a lot of responsibility to live out our lives in a way that pushes people into love and pushes people into who you want them to become. And if we're not careful, Lord, any one of us can get that wrong if we're not living out of the overflow from what you've done and what you continue to do in our hearts and our lives. So I pray that as we do that, God, I pray that you would encourage us with your spirit, that you would build courage up in us from your spirit in a way that then naturally brings courage and encouragement to others. If there's anyone here, Lord, that needs that encouragement today, I pray that over them. I pray that you would even now be bringing names to our minds of people that we need to reach out to and stir them up, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. We pray this in Jesus' name.